All right, we're talking about sold properties in this audio. It's really the fourth group of properties. You have active, under contract, failed, and then solds. Generally, agents go into listing interviews, oftentimes with only sold properties. And we want to maybe do solds. You're going to find out you actually, and there's plenty of presentations we've done, didn't use solds at all. And because by the time you get to that, they know their number. So any case, solds, you know what to do. Find them from the subdivision, ideally the same style. If you can't find properties that are the same style in the subdivision, I'd actually recommend you look at other styles. Even if it's a ranch, compare it against a two-story and try not to leave the subdivision if you can. The ground value, again, shifts, sometimes by going half a mile away into another subdivision. And here's what's really important. The high-low of the subject property subdivision could be 300 to 350. Nothing higher, nothing lower. But their exact floor plan could have sold a month earlier, about a mile away, same square footage, same two-car garage, two-story, both with finished basements, same square footage, a mile away, and it sold for 360 recently. Remember, your subdivision's high-low is 3 to 350, and the other one sold for 360. Same floor plan. But when you run the data on the other subdivision, its high-low price range is actually 325 on the low side and 425 on the high side, meaning there's other properties in the other subdivision selling for much higher than the subject property subdivision. And those higher ones are actually pulling up the value of the other one that sold recently because it's the middle of the road. If your property is the highest price point in a subdivision, it's being pulled down by the lower properties. It's like you never want to have the castle in a subdivision. You want to have the cottage because the castle is the big house. The cottage is the small house. And historically, the cottage actually appreciates faster than the castle because you're just not supposed to own the most expensive house in the area because you just don't grow as fast, appreciate as fast. So ideally, you're staying inside the subdivision. Be careful when you're going to another subdivision that you know that the high-low, the price range, highest and lowest, is not huge differentiation from the subject property subdivision. Now, the solds are the appraiser's perspective. The actives are the buyer's perspective. And you're going to share with the seller, these are, this is the seller, this is the appraiser's perspective, sold properties. And what we're going to do is the same exercise. Are they superior or inferior? Why do we do this? Because that's what a buyer does before they make an offer. Is the house better or worse? And again, as the realtor, if you could find properties with high days in the market of your competitor and say, again, XYZ, you know, 97 days on the market, and but they got, you know, $300,000 for that property, and just compare its remarkable features. Now, there's one last thing I want to say about remarkable features, and that is, on all statuses, I'd like you to ask the seller, they have a screened-in porch, we don't. I'm curious what you think the value of a screened-in porch would be if your property had it. Is that $1,000? Is it $20,000? It's the high-low game you're going to play with the seller who thinks that their home has special features and thus they should get more. Let's say your seller has a three-car garage and other people only have two-car garages. My question for you as a realtor, as a professional here, what's the value difference on a three-car versus a two-car in your part of the country? What is the value of having a basement in your part of the country and the other one has a slab? How about a finished basement, not finished in the 70s, but finished last year? So, because sometimes it was finished in the 70s or 80s, you have to gut it because it's horrible. Sometimes it's detrimental to have a finished lower level when it's horrible. So we want to ask the seller about remarkable features. Generally, it comes down to two or three. The other house had a brand new kitchen. What do you think it cost to put that kitchen in? And she says, I don't know, 50 grand? He says, oh, we could do it for 25 grand. She says, no, you can't. They're arguing about it, but they're going to come to a conclusion and put a value on something very important the other property has that they don't have. So can they get the same price if they're the same square footage as the other house down the street? If the other house has a new kitchen, price per square foot is one of the absolutely worst ways we could determine market value. If the other property is the same square footage as the subject, in fact, if there's five houses that sold in the last 6 months, they're exactly the same square footage. Do you average the price per square foot and say, this is what you get? No, you gotta play the high-low game. The other ones, three of them had finished basements and the subject didn't, because square footage doesn't show up in finished lower levels. Three of the other comps had in-ground pools. How's that show up in price per square foot? The subject property is actually on a beautiful cul-de-sac, the best lot in the subdivision. The other two of the other ones are at the very front of the subdivision, first house on the right, first house on the left, in horrible locations. How's that show up in price per square foot? We have to make adjustments on specific big features, like location. We have to say, well, we have a three-car, they have a two-car. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, what would you value a three-car difference to be? You know, is it $1,000 for the third car bay? Or is it $20,000? Well, it's not 20, Brian. But it might be seven. She goes, oh, it's not seven, it's like three. And you could summarize it for them and say, you know what? It's probably about $5,000 or $6,000 that you get extra value that they didn't get. But let me ask you this, since they have a brand new kitchen and we don't, what's the value difference? This is very therapeutic. By the way, if you skip these steps, you will pay the price during seller servicing, where they never heard this stuff from you. And when you're introducing it later in the relationship, and they're not together, physically together for the presentation, you're only talking to one spouse later, one seller. And this is your opportunity to have therapy with both of them. Set the stage for what? Seller servicing. So keep thinking about this presentation as this is your one shot to win and to set up the seller servicing period. Because if you do start too high, they've got to be receptive to shifting that price. If we discover that buyers get a vote and they voted, nobody showed up. So on the solds, it's important to play, on all properties, the high-low game. Find the most remarkable feature about the actives they're competing with. The under contracts, the faileds, the solds. They have an in-ground pool, we don't. They have a three-car, we don't. They have 9-foot ceilings, we don't. We have a finished basement, they don't. Whatever those remarkable features are. Not, you know, one guy has crown molding and the other guy doesn't. I mean, it's a feature. Or an extra half bath. They've got 5 baths, we have 4.5. Who cares? It's not like you do an adjustment of $4,000 because the other guy's got a half bath. We don't want to go that deep in the weeds, so to speak. We don't want to keep talking about every feature. We want to talk about the most substantial features. Some people don't want to buy a house with a two-car and a three-car world. Some people have to have a finished lower level. Some people want a brand new kitchen. Not, you know, well, that one's got 3 baths, the other one's got 3.5, so we're going to adjust it by 7,500. That's what an appraiser does. We don't want to get that scientific. We want to get in the ballpark. Kind of like if I was teaching you golf. I'm not going to teach you how to get a hole in one. I'm going to get you on the green and close to the pinhole where you could drop that ball in. we're not going to strike this thing and get every seller to agree to exactly the number it's supposed to be. We want to be close to be able to set up seller servicing in order that we can get price reductions later. So let's wrap this up. By now, we've gone through all statuses of properties. You've asked key questions and the actives, the under contracts, the faileds, the solds. Again, one thing you're going to say is, what's the value of the feature that we have that they don't have? We got a three car. If nobody else has a three car, because the seller loves this part, because you're talking about why their house is worth more because of their special features. You guys have a finished lower level. If we see a comp that doesn't have it, what's the value of your special features? All right, I'm counting on you to practice this presentation with somebody, and ideally your loan officer. There's so much at stake, not just this deal, but you have referrals for a lifetime. This is the time, this is the opportunity to impress them with your market insight, not your marketing. All right, thanks for listening.